If you are trying to hide from Queen Wasp, Belladonna interjected, what are you doing in her greenhouse? Blue hesitated again. Swordtail was shaking his head so hard, Blue thought it might topple right off his neck. But so what if these leaf wings knew about Luna? The longer he talked, the longer they all stayed alive. And maybe if he explained and promised not to tell anyone they'd seen the leaf wings, Belladonna would decide to let them go. After all, it had to be pretty clear that he and his friends wouldn't be talking to Queen Wasp or any hive-wing guards anytime soon.
We're looking for my sister, he said. She's a flame silk, and Queen Wasp took her. We think she's keeping all the flame silk somewhere around here.
Belladonna, Hemlock, and Sundew all glanced at one another, suddenly alert. That's, Sundew started.
Yes, Hemlock answered.
Aha, said Belladonna.
What? Blue asked. What aha?
It seems, Belladonna said, taking a step closer to him, that we can be of use to one another after all.
We can?
You see, Belladonna went on, we know where the flame silks are. Blue's jaw dropped. Cricket sat up, her ears twitching and her eyes bright. Even Swordtail looked suddenly more excited than worried.
Where are they? Blue asked. Did you see a new cocoon there? Was it all right?
We can take you to their prison, Belladonna said. We can even help you sneak in to rescue your sister. You just have to do one thing for us first.
Blue's heart sank. Whatever the leaf wings wanted, it couldn't be good. Or safe. Or smart.
I won't hurt anyone, he said.
You don't have to, Belladonna said, with her quicksand smile. We're not here to attack the hive or fight any dragons, no matter what your queen's propaganda says about us. We're here for one little thing, and since we've been having quite a lot of trouble figuring out how to accomplish our goal, I think you've come along just in the nick of time. A desperate silkwing and a helpful hivewing are just what we need.
For what? Blue asked. What do you want us to do?
If you want our help finding your sister, Belladonna said smoothly, all you have to do is steal the Book of Clear Sight for us.
Chapter 18. Blue felt a reverent shiver run through him, even thinking the words Book of Clear Sight. He'd spent 100 nights lying in his hammock, gazing up at the silk-shrouded stars and imagining what it had been like to be her, the greatest seer who ever lived, the wisest of dragons, grandmother to an entire tribe. The legends said Clearsight had been able to see the future, but not just one future, all the possible futures. She had used that power to keep the tribes safe during her lifetime. They had survived hurricanes, forest fires, and a malevolent princess or four, thanks to Clearsight. Her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren were protected from every danger, growing strong and powerful and more numerous as the years went on. Then, when Clearsight saw her peaceful death approaching, she left one last gift for her descendants, a book that foretold the future. It warned them about everything in the years to come. The lightning strike that sheared away part of the sea cliff, the population explosion of sharks in the bay, the possible spread of a devastating bark disease in the forest. Clearsight wrote it all down, centuries of warnings, so that she could continue to protect her beloved hive-wing children even long after her death. The Book of Clearsight was the hive-wing's greatest treasure. It was the reason they were the most powerful tribe in Pentala. Queen Wasp had used it to defeat the leaf-wings in the war. It made her invincible.
And surely, Blue thought, cold tentacles trailing through his mind. Surely, it included warnings about any dragons stupid enough to try to steal it from her. She might even know they were here right now.
I know, Belladonna said, studying his face. I thought the same thing. But we've made it this far, and we've been hiding in her own greenhouse for 4 days, without anyone showing up to capture us. If the book has warned her about us, she hasn't bothered to do anything about it.
Yet,
Hemlock added impassively. Belladonna shot him a look. We don't need them, Sundu cried. I can steal the Book of Clearsight by myself.
You can't even get near the front door by yourself, Belladonna observed.
Neither can we, Blue said. We're no use to your plan. We're wanted fugitives.
She isn't, Hemlock said, flicking one claw at Cricket.
That was true. Cricket could. But Cricket was shaking her head. Blue's small flame of hope spluttered out. Of course she would say no. He couldn't blame her. She'd never even met Luna. She wouldn't risk her tribe's entire future to save a silkwing she didn't know. Helping a pathetic dragon hide from hunters was one thing. An exciting adventure, complete with anti-paralysis smoke and reading monkeys. Stealing the Book of Clearsight, though? That was an unforgivable crime. She'd be betraying her whole tribe, not just her queen.
No,
Belladonna growled, suddenly furious. She darted across to Cricket and seized the Hivewing's jaw in her talons.
You don't say no to me, Hivewing. You have no right. After everything your tribe has done to our homes and our dragons.
Don't hurt her,
Blue cried. He tried to pull his talons free, but they were bound tightly.
Look, can't you understand why she'd refuse? She wants to protect her tribe, same as you. You say you're not here to hurt anyone, but then what are you planning to do with a book once you have it?
Belladonna hissed in Cricket's face and shoved her away.
All we want to do is level the wind currents, she spat. Do you really think it's fair that the Hive Wings have had this secret knowledge for so long? That they've abused it to dominate and destroy other tribes? Do you think that's what your precious Clearsight intended?
Cricket looked down at her feet, blinking rapidly.
Queen Wasp has already read the whole thing, Belladonna went on. She probably even has a copy somewhere, unless she's an idiot.
We just want to read it too. Then we'll all know the same things. We'll have the same advance information. The Leaf Wings won't have anything more than what the Hive Wings have had for generations. Equality. That's what we're looking for.
Seems only fair, Hemlock agreed.
But, Blue said nervously. But then won't you use that information to attack the Hives?
Belladonna's eyes glittered.
That depends on what the book says.
Stop being so nosy, Sundu said fiercely. Her talons twitched toward one of her pouches, but whatever was in there, she stopped herself from bringing it out. Either you help us, or you die. It's very simple. Blue glanced at Swordtail. He could see instantly that Swordtail was fine with his plan. He'd be happy to help even Leaf Wings if it meant saving Luna, and he didn't care what happened to the Hive Wings afterward. But Cricket, this was too much to ask. And yet, the truth was, it would be impossible to pull off without her. Blue closed his eyes and took a deep breath.
I need to talk to my friends, he said. Give us some time to think about it.
To think about it? Sundu growled. She picked up a fallen branch and started snapping it into jagged splinters. Arr!
You have until midday, Belladonna said, beckoning to her daughter. Then we start formulating our plan.
She turned and disappeared into the leaves, with Sundew stomping furiously along behind her. Hemlock untied the vine around Swordtail's snout, then stepped across and did the same for Cricket. He paused as the vine dropped away and met Cricket's eyes.
"Choose wisely," he said to her.
And then he, too, slipped away into the foliage. Blue looked up. This section was so overgrown that he couldn't see the walls or the ceiling of the greenhouse. It was like they were in a cave made of leaves. But he could tell from the bright green color leaching into the plants that the sun was rising outside. He wondered if hunters were out already, looking for him. Had anyone noticed Cricket was missing yet? He rocked himself onto his side and scooted awkwardly over the rocky ground until he was next to her. She gave him a half-hearted smile and nudged his neck with her nose.
"I'm sorry," he said to her. "I'm really, really sorry I dragged you into this."
Cricket looked very surprised. "Did you?" she said. "I'm pretty sure I dragged myself into it. Or leaped into it, with all 4 feet and all 4 wings. I might have been yelling, 'Wee, adventure!' in my head, if I didn't say that out loud."
"Well, maybe," he said. "But you couldn't have expected this."
"Neither could you," she pointed out reasonably. "Being captured by leaf wings? It's kind of amazing, isn't it? I can't believe they're still alive. Where have they been all this time? I must say they're a little more belligerent than I would have imagined." She moved her jaw from side to side, wincing.
"Really?" Blue said. "We were taught that leaf wings would kill us on sight. So to me, it seems quite friendly of them to postpone killing us until later."
Cricket gave him a rueful smile. "Is there any chance they won't kill us at all?" she asked.
"Maybe if we help them," Blue said, "or get away from them somehow."
Blue glanced across at Swordtail, who was flailing around on the ground, trying to bite away the vines binding his talons.
Swordtail, he said. "What do you think?"
"I think they're listening to us," Swordtail growled, "so it's no use trying to make any escape plans."
"True," Belladonna's voice called from somewhere up in the branches.
"But I think we should help them," Swordtail said. "They have a point. The Hive Wings did destroy all their trees. Queen Wasp used the book's knowledge to nearly wipe them out. So why shouldn't they get to see the book? I don't care, as long as they take us to Luna. The only thing I'm not sure of is whether we can trust them to help us after we do what they want."
"You can," Belladonna's voice called again. "Of course you can, you ungrateful beetles," Sundew yelled from somewhere else. "We're not lying, conniving hive wings. We're leaf wings. We're honorable."
"If you want to be in this conversation," Blue shouted, "just come back and be in it already."
There was a moment of rustling silence.
"No, no," said Belladonna's voice. "Carry on. Pretend we're not here."
Swordtail snorted.
"Well, I'm worried," Blue said to Swordtail. "First of all, I'm sure it's impossible to steal the book. Secondly, even if we could, giving it to a tribe who tried to wipe us all out once upon a time seems like maybe a bad idea."
"That's not what we—"
Sundew bellowed.
"Shh."
Belladonna hushed her.
"We're leaving anyway, aren't we?" Swordtail said. "We can't ever go home. You and me and Luna and Io, if we can find her. And you too, if you want to come," he said to Cricket. "We'll have to find a new place to live. Far away from Wasp and the Hives, and all her zombie hordes. So why should we care what happens to her, or them, after we're gone? We'll be safe, far away from here."
"But what about everyone else?" Blue asked. "Burnett and Silverspot? Your parents? All the dragons we went to school with? All our teachers?
Cricket's sister. Don't you care about any of them?
Swordtail coiled his tail in close and spread his wings.
I care about Luna, he said. That's it.
Blue couldn't imagine that was true. Blue cared about all of them, every dragon he'd ever spoken to, and all the ones he'd never seen. There were dragons out there eating blueberries, and dragons laughing at clumsy tiger cubs, and dragons learning to dance, and dragons crying as though their hearts would break over missing homework. He'd been all of them in some way, and he couldn't just toss them into the talons of these angry, vengeful dragons and fly off. He turned back to Cricket. She'd managed to snap off a twig from the bush behind her, holding it between her teeth and passing it to her bound talons. She caught Blue's eye and tapped the dirt with a stick.
I'm not sure we have a choice, she said out loud.
Awkwardly, she wrote, pretend to agree. Escape later. Blue tilted his head at her. Could they do that? Say yes to the Leafwing's plan. Agree to go after the book. And then run off once they were inside the hive? They wouldn't have the Leafwing's help to find Luna. But with luck, they could find her themselves. It felt underhanded. He didn't like lying to anyone, or breaking promises. Of course, he didn't love stealing priceless artifacts either.
It's like Sundu said, right? Cricket went on. We do what they want, or they'll kill us.
I won't let them kill you, Blue said.
Something like a,
ha,
came from the direction of Sundu's voice, followed by a, shh, and the sounds of a scuffle. Cricket tapped her message again, watching him significantly.
Let's hear their plan, she said. If stealing the book means helping your sister, and not dying, I can do that. They're right that Queen Wasp and the librarian already know everything that's in it anyway.
Swordtail had given up on untying his vines, and lay in an undignified heap on the path, frowning at them. From his angle, Blue was pretty sure Swordtail couldn't read what Cricket had written, but it didn't matter. Once they were away from the leaf wings, he'd explain, and Swordtail would understand.
Sounds like we're all in agreement, Swordtail said.
Blue sighed and leaned forward to brush away Cricket's message.
All right, he called. We'll steal the Book of Clearsight for you.
Chapter 19. Cricket's plan began to fall apart immediately. In the first place, the Leafwings were adamant that Sundu had to go with them to sneak into the temple.
What? Cricket said. How? There's no way to get her through the hive unnoticed. The first guard who spots her will kill her. In fact, any Hivewing who sees her would probably do the same.
It's true, Blue agreed. They are terrifying posters about you everywhere.
We've been working on that, Belladonna said. Blue couldn't help thinking she seemed remarkably unconcerned about sending her daughter into danger. The tall leafwing produced a pair of leaves that were similar in shape to the second, smaller pair of wings on a silkwing. Sundew stood still, shooting daggers at Cricket with her eyes, while Belladonna and Hemlock fastened the fake wings below and behind her real ones, using a system of rigging them with vine ties under Sundew's many pouches.
No flying, Hemlock said sternly, touching Sundew's snout.
But as long as she keeps her wings folded, it should be convincing enough inside the hive, Belladonna said. Walking up to the guards outside, in sunlight, with plenty of opportunity for them to watch her coming, that was the part we were having trouble with. She smiled at Cricket, a smile that went nowhere near her eyes.
That's where you come in.
She's still very green and leafy-looking, Cricket protested. Even her real wings look like leaves, and she's so green.
Blue, there aren't any silk wings that green,
are there?
He spent a moment trying to remember all the green silkwings he knew before he realized that Cricket wanted him to say,
"Oh no, never that green."
"We can fix that too," Sundu said spiritedly. She dumped out one of her pouches, sending a rainstorm of flower petals to the ground. Without choosing carefully, she grabbed a scarlet flower and rubbed it on her shoulder, leaving a patch of reddish green.
"Let me,"
Hemlock said, gently taking the flower out of her talons. He sorted the petals quickly into piles by color, then started applying rubbings of yellow, red, and blue in an even pattern. Cricket watched skeptically, but Blue was fairly impressed. It wasn't as thorough as the paint Cricket had put on him, but it did make Sundu look much less like a leaf wing by the time Hemlock was done, although maybe not quite a silk wing. She looked a little too furious to be a real silk wing, and the combination of colors wasn't exactly beautiful. But Belladonna might be right. It was at least possible now that Sundew could pass through the corridors of Wasp Hive without getting caught.
"Wait, that's bad," he remembered. "We want to leave her behind. We'll never be able to escape with her watching us."
But there was no way to convince the leaf wings without raising their suspicions. And then it got worse.
"These two stay behind with us," Belladonna said, pointing to Blue and Swordtail. "No way," Swordtail blurted.
Cricket folded back her wings and lifted her chin.
"I'm not going without them," she said. "I won't do it. I don't trust you."
"And I don't trust you, Hivewing," said Belladonna, "which is exactly why they're staying where I can keep an eye on them. You can have them back when I have the book."
"No," Cricket said, standing her ground. "I can't do this alone."
"You'll have Sundew," Belladonna pointed out.
"Yeah," Sundew said. "You'll have me. That's like the opposite of being alone. I can do anything 20 dragons can do."
"I need my friends," Cricket said firmly. Belladonna and Hemlock exchanged a long, thoughtful look. Finally, Hemlock said,
"Just one."
"Both," said Cricket.
"One," said Belladonna.
"Choose which, or we'll kill one of them and make your choice very easy."
Cricket hesitated. Blue felt awful for her. How could they all escape if one of them was stuck in the greenhouse? But there wasn't anything she could do. He could see that.
"Blue," Cricket said, in a subdued voice. "I'll take Blue."
"You should take Swordtail," he said. "He's a better fighter than me, if things go bad."
"I assume that's what she's for," Cricket said, nodding at Sundew. "I really want you to come with me, Blue. Please."
He realized that she was scared, maybe even more scared than he was. She had gotten into this for him, and she felt safer with him than Swordtail, who she barely knew, and who had a tendency to say mean things about Hivewings. Blue was afraid he'd be more than useless to her, but if she wanted him, he'd go to the ends of Penthala, or anywhere she asked.
"Of course," he said.
Maybe they'd have a chance to slip away from Sundew. Maybe they'd come up with a way to save Swordtail and get out of this, even if he couldn't think of any solutions right now. Hemlock cut them loose and let Cricket use some of the flower dye to cover the spots where Blue's real colors were showing through. The result was lopsided and weird-looking, like he had some kind of scale disease where bits of him were flaking off. But maybe that would make other dragons, especially Hivewings, keep their distance from him. The day felt endless, and yet it was alarmingly soon when Belladonna said,
"It's dusk. Time to go."
Blue took one of Zoratel's talons in his and squeezed.
"We'll come back for you," he said.
"I know," Swordtail said. With the book. I know you can do it.
How do I tell him we're only pretending? Blue thought desperately. How do I warn him he needs to escape?
There was no way. Hemlock was standing next to him, watching them like a hawk.
Right, Blue said. See you soon, Swordtail.
Sundu led them through the tangled greenery to the back of the greenhouse, facing away from the hive. Carefully, she tapped on a pane of the glass wall, then wedged her claws in the cracks around the edges and levered it out.
Oh, Cricket said. I wondered what you did to get in. Oh, dear. Isn't that going to be bad for the plants?
I don't care two frogs about the plants, Sundu snapped. Go on. Cricket ducked through the opening. As Blue crouched to follow her, he saw Belladonna poke Sundu between the shoulders so she'd stand more upright.
Make us proud, she said to her daughter. Do not fail. Remember, this is what you were hatched to do. Remember how evil they are. Let your rage carry you.
Yes, Belladonna, Sundu said firmly. I will not fail. And then Blue was outside, on one of the neat paths, standing next to Cricket under a whale gray sky. Low clouds blotted out the moons and most of the stars. The rainy season was definitely upon them. Sundu emerged a moment later, sliding the glass back into place behind her. They slipped silently between the greenhouses, weaving toward the front of Wasp Hive. As they got closer, Sundu held up one talon to stop them, then darted to the next corner and peered out at the hive entrance.
Two guards, she whispered. Then this should work.
She dug into a pouch and carefully pulled out a wooden box, which she opened to reveal a flower the size of a stingray and the color of moonlight.
Take this, she said to Cricket.
Carefully. Do not crush any part of it until you get close to the guards.
Then make them look at it and smash it under their noses.
What will it do? Cricket asked, eyeing the beautiful white bloom. Is it poisonous? Where did it come from? I don't want to poison anyone.
It won't poison them, Sundu said impatiently. It'll just knock them out for a while. Don't you inhale it, though, or you'll be useless to us.
Cricket held the flower as far away from her as she could, took a deep breath, and stepped out of the cluster of greenhouses. She moved slowly, cautiously hobbling on three legs, so she could hold the flower up in one talon with infinite gentleness. It hit Blue suddenly that this was a dangerous turning point for Cricket. Up until now, she hadn't been seen with the fugitives. She could have returned home at any moment, slipping back into her ordinary life with a shrug and an excuse about mind control and hunting or something like that. But now she was facing real hive-wing guards who were likely to remember her. Whatever happened next, Cricket would be in trouble. Probably really bad trouble.
I'm so sorry, Cricket,
Blue thought mournfully.
I wish...
His thoughts trailed off. He couldn't say, I wish we hadn't met, because that was the furthest thing from the truth. He wished she was safe, that was all. Both guards leaped to their feet when they saw her approaching.
Halt!
One of the guards called. Cricket stopped where she was, halfway to the door, and the guards started whispering to each other. Blue glanced over at Sundu, who was watching with tension humming from every bone in her body. She looked ready to sprint out there and stab the guards if they so much as sneezed funny.
So, he said to her, your mother said you were hatched for this. What's that all about?
Sundu looked over her shoulder at him incredulously. Are you seriously making small talk with me right now?
No, he protested. That wasn't small talk. That was big talk. Actual talk? I actually want to know
I mean. It's nothing mystical, Sundu growled. She wanted a daughter to carry on our family's legacy. She trained me my whole life for one purpose. This.
Stealing the Book of Clearsight?
She narrowed her eyes and paused for a moment. Sure. That didn't sound like the whole story, but now the guards were calling Cricket forward again.
Who are you?
One of them asked.
Why weren't you back by curfew?
And what have you got there? Asked the other. I found something amazing, Cricket said. The Queen will want to see it right away. It was hard to hear her from here. Her voice was much quieter than the guards. Blue strained to listen.
Unless it's a map to that blasted flame silk, she's going to bite your head off, said the first guard. I'd try the librarian first if I were you, little dragon. She likes unusual things.
And she's a bit less murdery than the queen, agreed the second guard, smiling. Blue felt a sharp twist of guilt. These guards were so friendly, and they were going to be in so much trouble if Blue and Sundu got into the hive and Queen Wasp found out. Would they lose their jobs, or would their punishment be even worse? He worried at one of his claws. Why did it have to be such nice, friendly guards in their way? A voice in his head that sounded like Luna whispered, "Maybe they're only friendly because they're talking to a hive wing. Have you ever seen a guard be that nice to a silk wing? Did you even know they could smile?" These same guards might have been out for the last 3 days hunting you. They might have been in a unit that came to shove me in a cage. They might spend their other shifts poking flame silks with spears to make them burn faster. Blue shivered, trying to shake off the voice.
So what is it?
The first guard asked, craning his neck as Cricket approached. Isn't it beautiful? She said. And it smells like nothing I've ever smelled before. She held out the flower between the two guards, so they both leaned in to sniff it. And then Cricket squeezed her claws shut, crushing the petals in her grip. Blue couldn't see exactly when it hit them, but a moment later, the guards crumpled to the ground. One of them hit his head on the hive wall as he fell, and Cricket flinched, reaching toward him too late. She crouched over him, folding in his splayed wings and checking his pulse. The pearlescent flower lay where she'd dropped it on the dirt, its edges brown and wrinkled now. Sundu sprinted toward the entrance, and Blue scrambled to follow her. Leave them, Sundu snapped at Cricket. I don't know how much they got, or how long it'll last. If I were you, I would have shoved it right up their snouts. Well, I wasn't going to do that, Cricket said crossly. And it worked fine, didn't it? What kind of flower is that? Is it related to nightshade? Blue bent over the second guard, surreptitiously making sure she was alive. She was. And that she'd fallen in a comfortable position. Sundu strode on without waiting, and both Cricket and Blue had to jump up and run after her, under the malevolent gaze of the giant Queen Wasp statue. The ground-level doors to the hive were massive and ostentatiously made of wood, with wasps carved all over them and a profile of the queen on each side. Sundu paused in front of one for a moment, then reached up and raked her claws across the queen's elegant snout, leaving splintery furrows in the wood. That was unnecessary, Cricket protested. You ruined a really nice carving. Wait until I get to her actual face, Sundu snarled. She yanked the door open a crack and peeked through, then shoved it a little farther and squeezed herself through the gap. Blue and Cricket went next, spilling out onto the streets of Wasp Hive's lowest level. What they saw was a deserted street of warehouses, rows and rows of blocky buildings, each a perfect beige cube reaching from floor to ceiling with one large door. Storage, Blue guessed, although of what exactly he wasn't sure.
Each door was marked with a symbol, all of which were unfamiliar to him. He only had a moment to think about it, because Sundu had already started up the path that led to the next level. Blue ran after her and caught her shoulder.
What?
She snapped.
Let Cricket go first, he said, and walk like a normal silkwing. We don't charge around with, I have somewhere to be and someone to set on fire faces. Even if your disguise was way better than it is, walking and scowling like that will get you caught in a heartbeat.
Fine, she said, fuming. Show me how you walk. Blue turned to Cricket.
Have you been here before? He asked her. Do you know where the temple is?
Yes, she said. My class visited the temple last year, and my dad took me a couple of times. It's up in the center of the hive. He nodded and stepped back, so she could lead the way. Then he ducked his head and trailed after her, looking as harmless and inconspicuous as he could. Sundu fell into step beside him, growling and muttering under her breath.
Tuck your chin a little more, Blue suggested softly. Keep your eyes on the ground. Don't look directly at any hive wings. Try not to make any noise.
She hissed at him. You're just like I always pictured silk wings, she spat. Subservient worms. He stopped mid-step and frowned at her.
We are not, he said. We're pacifists, yes, and we follow the rules. But it's kept us alive, hasn't it? There's a lot more silk wings left in the world than leaf wings, I bet.
He added hurriedly, since he wasn't actually sure. Up until this morning, he'd have guessed the number of leaf wings left was zero. But he must have been right, because she spun and glared at him. If you'd been willing to fight with us, we'd all still be alive.
Or we'd all be dead, he pointed out. The significantly more likely scenario.
I don't know why Willow wants to save your tribe, Sundu snapped. You're as much of a problem as the hive wings, with your nodding and smiling and agreeing to let them trample all over you. I'd throw you all into the sea if it were up to me.
Cricket came back around the bend in the tunnel. Can we try to be a little more quiet? She said. We'll be at the residential levels soon.
Which meant more dragons around, and more hive wings who might overhear Sundu and Blue arguing. He bit back everything he wanted to say to the leaf wing and hurried after Cricket, walking like he normally did around hive wings, which was a perfectly fine way to walk, he thought, in that it kept you out of trouble, and it was polite. And was Sundu right? Was he confusing obedience and good behavior with letting the hive wings trample all over him?
What else was I supposed to do exactly? He wondered. Stare right at hive wings? Speak up? Pick fights? End up on Misbehavior's Way all the time, like Swordtail? I don't like being yelled at. Acting the way I do has been a good way to avoid that.
Wasp Hive was constructed much like Cicada Hive, but bigger, with wider hallways and tunnels and higher ceilings on each level. The walls of the tunnels were painted with black and yellow stripes, or six-sided honeycomb patterns, alternating by level. Weavings and posters of Queen Wasp glared at them around every bend. The tunnels became busier as they ascended, and Blue drew closer to Cricket with a nervous jittering in his chest. They passed a family of hive wings, arguing over where to go for dinner. A silkwing carrying a basket of clean blankets. A pair of hive wings, singing and teasing each other about getting the words wrong. Everyone seemed so normal. Their lives were carrying on, despite days spent under the queen's mind control. A few of them nodded politely at Cricket, but nobody even glanced at Blue or Sundu. And then Cricket slowed down, flicking her wings back as she stepped out of the tunnels and onto a polished floor made of real wood, not tree stuff. Blue bit back a gasp as he followed her onto the smooth surface.
It gleamed in waves of gold and amber and brown, all the way across the vast space in front of them, to the foot of the Temple of Clearsight.
Chapter 20. Blue had read that the Temple of Clearsight was the most beautiful structure in the world. He knew that it had been built by Clearsight's grandchildren, then partially destroyed hundreds of years later during the war with the Leaf Wings, and then moved to be reconstructed here in the heart of Wasp Hive, where it could be kept safe. Books had told him that it was made of 60 different kinds of wood, all polished and painstakingly fitted together, so it looked like a perfect miracle. But books couldn't describe the feeling of peace that hit him when he saw it. The temple wasn't an enormous, towering structure, as he'd always imagined. It was no bigger than the cocoon, but built with elegant balance and graceful proportions. The columns that lined the front of it were of a wood so dark it was almost black, embedded with tiny flecks of quartz that looked like distant stars. The roof swept into dragon-tail points at each corner, and a central dome was covered in curved golden wood tiles that looked like scales. It sat quietly in the center of the vast wooden courtyard, surrounded by reflecting pools and little nooks lined with bookshelves. Even at this hour, Blue saw a few dragons curled here and there, on a bench, beside a pool, on a bamboo mat between shelves, all of them reading. Tiny flame silk lanterns glowed beside them. A few floated on the water of the pools, and others hung from the rafters of the temple. Another light glowed on the dome, and when Blue looked up, he realized there was a skylight overhead that pierced all the levels, all the way up to the top of the hive. In the distance, he could see the stars, and the corner of one of the moons shining down on the temple. It must be covered with glass to keep the rains out, but it was kept so clean it looked like a direct hole to the sky. The effect was somewhere between Magic Library and Peace Garden, and Blue found himself consumed with sadness that he'd never been here before, and most likely would never be able to come here again. He wished he could live like these hive wings, with this place at his claw tips every day. He wished he could work for the librarian, taking care of the temple and all these books, sweeping the floors and feeding the koi and keeping it beautiful, and never getting yelled at by angry leaf wings or chased by angry queen zombies. Instead, he was here to destroy this peaceful place by stealing the one thing it was built around. They walked toward the temple as quietly as they could. A long carpet of dark blue silk stretched toward the temple door and muffled their talon steps. Golden dragonflies and green lizards were woven in a subtle pattern through the carpet. It was more beautiful than even Blue's favorite cocoon weavings, and it felt impossibly ancient. He glanced sideways at Sundew to see if the aura of the temple had calmed her down at all. She caught him looking and hurried a scowl back onto her face.
"Don't you think it's amazing?" he whispered.
"No," she whispered back ferociously. She waved her tail at the carvings around them. "How many trees had to die to make this place?" He didn't answer. He felt in his bones that the temple was worth everything it took to make it. But he could also imagine how hard it was for Sundew, mourning the vast forests of trees that used to cover Pentala. Queen Wasp and the Hive Wings had destroyed all of that. Not just the Leaf Wings' homes, but the spirits of the trees they'd clearly loved, too. Two hive-wing guards stood on either side of the arched temple door, holding long spears. Blue felt panic stirring in his chest. He tapped Cricket's wing and she paused, turning back to him.
"Sundew and I don't have wristbands," he said softly. "These guards, I think they'll notice."
Cricket nodded, as though he'd drawn her attention to an interesting fish. She strolled off the carpet path and over to one of the pools, sitting down beside it and beckoning for Blue and Sundew to do the same.
"Those aren't the only guards," she murmured when they were beside her. She crouched closer to the water.
there's another pair guarding the inner door, and in the room with the book itself, there's always either two more guards or the librarian. The book is in a wooden case, which is locked, and only the librarian has the key.
Where is the librarian if she's not with the book? Sundu whispered.
She lives in a back room of the temple, so she can be near the book at all times. Once a librarian is chosen, she never leaves the temple again.
Blue hadn't known that.
Yikes. What would it be like to be a dragon who was never allowed to fly or see the sky? Even though the temple was perfect, he couldn't imagine anyone who'd be happy to be trapped in it forever.
So possibly six guards, plus the librarian, Sundu muttered.
You know, it would have been quite helpful if you'd mentioned any of this earlier today, during the planning stages.
I forgot until I saw the temple, Cricket said innocently. Sorry, I haven't been here in a while.
Sundu growled softly and started poking through her pouches. Cricket caught Blue's eye and gave him a small, nervous smile. Blue was sure Cricket had remembered the details of the guards all along, but she was still trying to find a way to get out of stealing the book. He wished he could do something to help her. He wished he could think of a way to rescue Luna, protect the tribes from an invasion of leaf wings, save the Book of Clearsight, and escape with his friends. Ideally with a minimum of danger, violence, or dragons yelling at him. His heart stopped suddenly. Maybe there was one possible way out of this. The problem was, it was risky and insane. But then, so was stealing the Book of Clearsight.
We could tell the guards, he thought. We could turn in Sundu and expose her disguise. We give her to Queen Wasp. We tell them where Belladonna and Hemlock are hiding, so the soldiers can swoop in and save Swordtail and catch them. We'd be heroes. Wouldn't we?
Surely capturing three leaf wings and exposing a plot to steal the Book of Clearsight would be the greatest gift they could ever give Queen Wasp. She would have to forgive them for everything else. Wouldn't she? He tried to follow that thought. Would she forgive Swordtail for attacking her soldiers? What about Io? Could she be forgiven too? Would Queen Wasp let Blue and Luna go back to their safe, ordinary lives with their mothers? Maybe if they promised to give all their flame silk to her? Would she let Swordtail and Luna be partnered together? What about his father? Would she set him free too? If he was even still alive. What about all the other flame silks, if there were others? Would she think three leaf wings were a fair trade for however many silk wings she had trapped in her flame silk factory? If not, could he accept his own freedom and Luna's, knowing he'd left others behind? Or what if Queen Wasp took the information, destroyed the leaf wings, and then gave them nothing in return? He might betray Sundu and break his promises, only to end up in 1,000 times as much trouble as before. He'd be walking straight into the Queen's clutches with no leverage. And how would we explain Cricket? He realized. What if telling the Queen about the leaf wings? And how we found them, and where we've been for the last 3 days? Means she figures out that Cricket can't be mind-controlled. He needed to keep her out of this, if he did it. He had no idea how. He needed to ask Cricket for advice. He needed to think. But he didn't have time. Sundu slipped something out of one of her pouches and palmed it. She nodded to Cricket. Walk straight inside. Don't look guilty.
What are you going to do? Cricket whispered.
Something effective, Sundu hissed. Let's go. Cricket led the way back to the silk path and headed toward the front door of the temple. One of the guards was watching them intently, while the other had his gaze focused on his spear. Blue found it harder and harder to breathe. Should he do it now? He could run forward and throw himself on the guard's mercy. If he was going to betray Sundu, he had to do it before they were caught, in order to earn Queen Wasp's gratitude. But Cricket, is this what she would want?
He heard whisking sounds from behind him, like two tiny puffs of air. He glanced back at Sundu. She jerked her chin at him. Keep walking. Cricket had reached the steps of the temple. This was it. The guards would step forward and demand to see their wristbands. They'd arrest him and Sundu on the spot, and it would only be a moment before they realized Sundu's second pair of wings was fake. Turn her in. Turn her in now. Blue took a deep breath and focused on the guard who'd been watching them. Which is when he realized. The guard wasn't moving. His eyes were still fixed on the carpet where they'd been, several steps back. His black wings, spotted with large yellow and red splotches, were halfway raised and his mouth was slightly open, as though he'd been about to speak. But he was as still as the statue of Queen Wasp outside. As still as the prisoners on Misbehavior's Way. Blue whipped his head around to the other guard. She was paralyzed the same way, frozen with her spear in her talons and a slight frown on her face. How did Sundu do that? Only Hivewings had that kind of nerve toxin, and only a few of them. And as far as Blue knew, they could only wield it from up close by stabbing little stingers into their victims. But Sundu had done it from a distance somehow, and so quietly that none of the dragons in the temple grounds had even looked up from their books. Unless someone looked carefully at the guards, it was possible no one would notice they were paralyzed at all for most of the night. Keep moving, Sundu whispered. You're both staring. Cricket shook herself and stepped through the archway. Blue wished he could pull her aside and talk. She must be terrified. At least, he was terrified. The room they stepped into was as tranquil as the grounds outside. To their left, a painting of clearsight took up almost the entire wall, with small lanterns flickering on either side of it. She looked kind and wise, like Blue had always imagined. Offerings were piled below the painting. Bundles of wilting marigolds, tiny silver sugar cakes, little weavings of poems. To their right, the wall was divided into hundreds of small cubby holes in a honeycomb pattern. Most of the holes held scraps of paper, wishes written by dragon claws, dreams for what they hoped the future would hold, folded and tucked inside. A desk stood in the corner with more paper for anyone who wanted to write one of their own. Blue imagined all the dragons who had come through here, all their shaking talons asking Clearsight for hope, for luck, for love. Hivewings and Silkwings alike visited the temple and believed in Clearsight. She helped them believe in a better future. Will they lose that faith without the book? If we steal it, does this all fall apart? Will anyone come here anymore? He knew what he wished he could write on one of those scraps of paper. Please keep my friend safe. Please, tell me what to do. Cricket didn't pause in the antechamber. She kept walking toward the inner sanctum. Blue, who had slowed down to look around, was able to watch Sundu as she went past him. He saw her lift something to her mouth and swiftly blow into it. Once, slight tilt to the right. Twice. She had uncanny aim. He saw the moment each guard froze, spears slightly lifted, mouths ajar, as though they'd sensed a threat and were about to order them to halt. Whatever she was shooting, the guards were no use to him now. He couldn't hand over Sundu to a pair of statues. How are we going to get out of this? There had to be more than just guards between them and the book. Maybe the case would be impossible to get into. He really hoped it was. Cricket stepped between the two guards, casting them each a nervous glance. Neither of them so much as twitched. With a deep breath, she opened the double doors and stepped into the final room. This one was small and shadowy and perfectly square, like standing inside a wooden box. Blue squinted at the glimmering ceiling and realized that it was inlaid with moonstone stars. The only light in the room was a lantern that hung over the case that held the book. Blue caught his breath. He knew it wasn't the book itself, but the case was carved to look like a book, too. A book with dragons sweeping across the cover and clambering around the spine, tails twining into vines, wings spilling into clouds, eyes like suns. The podium holding up the case was shaped like a leafless tree, branches spreading to support the book. For a moment he couldn't understand why Queen Wasp had allowed that here, when trees were forbidden in all other art. Then he realized that the podium was probably as old as the temple, from a time long before Queen Wasp's decrees, a time before the forests were destroyed. He stepped to Cricket's side, and she reached to brush his shoulder with her wing. He knew she felt it too, the sacredness of this place, the magic of the Book of Clear Sight. But if Sundew felt it, she didn't let it slow her down. She shoved past them, darted to the podium, and grabbed the case. It didn't move. For a moment, she wrestled with it furiously, trying to pick it up, but the case was inextricably joined to the podium, and when she tried to pick that up, she discovered it was as firmly rooted to the floor as though it had grown from the wooden planks. With a growl of frustration, Sundew seized the lock and tried to yank it off. Blue realized that that too would fail, and then her next step was going to be smashing the ancient case. He stepped toward her, trying to raise the nerve to argue with her. And then a voice spoke from the darkest patch of shadows at the back of the room.
"Stop. The Book of Clear Sight is not for you."
The librarian stepped into the light, a tall, bony dragon whose scales were the pale orange of unripe apricots, marked with a zigzagging triangle pattern of black along her spine and tail. She wore a dark silk veil that shrouded her face.
"Little dragons," she hissed. "I've been expecting you."
Chapter 21.
She knows. She knows everything. The book told her we would try to steal it, just like I knew it would.
Blue's heart hammered loudly against his ribs. They were trapped.
If I talk fast, maybe I could still turn Sundew in. Maybe they don't know where Belladonna and Hemlock are. The queen might still have mercy on us, if we go quietly and tell her everything. If I don't fight, if I follow orders, if I keep my head down and say I'm sorry.
But staring into the librarian's hooded face, he knew he couldn't do any of that. He couldn't hand the leaf wings over to the queen's cruelty. He couldn't bow his head and go back to being obedient, now that he knew about flame silks, and the mind control, and the chrysalis. After seeing the guards closing in on Luna, he knew he'd never trust the queen again. The librarian took another step forward and tilted her head toward Sundew. A hiss escaped from under the veil.
"You're a leaf wing,"
she snarled.
"You seem surprised," Sundew said mockingly. "I thought you were expecting us. Didn't your precious book tell you I'd be a leaf wing?"
"A leaf wing? A silk wing. And a hive wing," the librarian mused, looking at each of them in turn.
She seemed to stare at Cricket the longest, and then suddenly she reached up and ripped off her veil. Her eyes were blank and white as pearls. Cricket gasped, flinching backward.
"What strange treason is this?" the librarian roared. "Why can't I get inside your mind, worm?"
Blue jumped in front of her, not even really knowing what he was doing, only that he needed to be between Cricket and the queen who could see everything.
"I'm the one you're looking for," he cried. "Blue, Luna's brother, the maybe flame silk."
He rubbed at his arm so the paint flaked off a bit more and his true colors shone through.
"See, I'll turn myself in. Please, just let them go."
"Never,"
the queen snarled in the librarian's voice. She reached for them with a long stinger sliding out from under her claws. And then Sundew cannoned into the librarian's side and slammed her into the wall. The librarian turned with a shriek and slashed at Sundu's face, but Sundu ducked and spun in the same movement